guest has been a financial advisor for over 30 years. His company, Edelman Financial Services, now manages $18 billion for over 30,000 people across the country. I'm proud to say I knew him when he was just a baby financial advisor. I'm really happy to have him back on the show today to talk about his new book, The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later. Here's Rick Edelman. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Paul, it's always a thrill to be with you.
Always a pleasure having you on here. Congratulations on the book, The Truth About Our Future. This is a book about when we get crushed by Skynet, right?
Pretty much. That's in the chapter on the dark side.
you're joking about that, but you actually do talk about what technology is going to mean for us in the future, and we can get to the dark side in just a second. But let's talk about something that you call exponential technology and how that's going to impact us going forward. What does that mean?
Well, we've all heard about self-driving cars, and we've seen a lot of news about drones, a lot of us own one, but nobody's really tied together what this really means for our personal finances and our future. And that's what my book is all about. I've spent 8 years researching this subject. As a financial advisor, I'm very concerned about the future, and I want to make sure the advice we give our clients is the best possible advice that we can give. And so I've always wanted to know, how do we need to change our advice due to emerging technologies such as 3D printing, big data, artificial intelligence, machine learning, nanotechnology, material science, bioinformatics, bionics, neuroscience? What are we going to be facing in the future, and how is it going to impact our personal finances? And my research over the past 8 years has culminated in this book, The Truth About Your Future.
So am I going to have to understand each of those things just to live day to day?
No, but you do need to be aware they exist, and you need to be aware of the implication they have. And that's the first part of the book, is introducing you to these concepts and showing you what this all means for you and me. And the second part of the book is the impact on our personal finances, the changes you need to make with your insurance, your investments, your estate plan, housing, college planning, career planning, even travel and leisure and recreation are going to be affected as a result of all of this. And so the book is a broad introduction to all of it, giving you very practical advice on everything from buying cars, you really shouldn't anymore, to where you're going to live and the will and trust that you create for your family.
And you also talk a lot about education. I'm happy to say that last year, my wife and I got a big raise because my daughter graduated from college. So we didn't have to write that check anymore. But I work with Ian, who's got a 2-year-old son who probably has got to be thinking, at least I'm hoping, is thinking about the future. Ian, right?
Yes.
Maybe trying to put a couple of bucks away for Archie's future?
Yes.
But
first, change professions, and then, yes, you can cross that road.
Yeah, get out of radio,
yes,
step one.
Exactly.
And then figure out what you're going to do for him. I think Rick is going to scare you a little bit. Rick?
Oh, actually reassure a little bit, because we all know the incredible challenge of saving for the cost of college. It scares parents of young children to death. But here's the good news for you, Ian, is that college in the future is going to be free. You really don't need to be saving as much money for college as you anticipate. What you do need to be saving for instead is lifelong learning. The notion of getting a college degree at age 22 and working in a career based on that degree for 40 years is gone. Instead, we have to recognize that technology is going to eliminate the vast majority of occupations in this country. Brand new occupations are going to emerge. And that means we're going to have to continually go back to school every few years to stay current and remain viable in the workplace. And that means spending a couple of hundred grand on college is outdated, and we instead want to spend much less money on a degree so that we can engage in ongoing expenses through continuing education and lifelong learning.
All right, well, now let me dissect this a little bit here. When you say it's going to be free college in the future, for Ian, for his son Archie, that's 16 years from now. You're saying that 16 years from now, he won't have to pay for Archie's education?
Well, that's already true. You can already obtain a college degree for free. If you're an employee of Starbucks or an employee of Jeep or Chrysler, they'll already provide you a free college education as an employee benefit. In fact, at Jeep and Chrysler, they'll not only pay for your college degree at a 4-year institution, they'll pay for the degree for your spouse and your children. They'll even pay for your master's degree.
Wow.
So you can already get a college degree for free. Rhode Island, New York State, and Tennessee are already providing associate's degrees for free. So you don't have to pay for college for a two-year associate's degree in those states already. And you can take advantage of online learning. At Georgia, the Georgia Institute of Technology will give you a master's degree in information sciences for $7,000. So the notion of having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a degree is already disappearing.
Okay, well, let's get to the other part of what you were talking about, which is this lifelong education component where you say we're going to have to go back to school multiple times during our life. Who is going to be able to take time off from a full-time job to go back to school for a year or two to learn more?
And that's the real key of this, so I'm glad you asked, Paul, because this is a major theme of the book. And in fact, it's not really the work. Let's jump ahead to the end game, and that's retirement. Retirement is disappearing as we know it. And the reason is longevity. A lot of folks figure that they're going to retire in their 60s and die in their 80s or 90s. That's not the case. Instead, you're going to live to 110 or 120. And you're going to be as healthy at age 100 as you are at age 50 because of medical advances. So you can forget about the notion of sitting in a wheelchair, living in a nursing home, drooling while staring out the window. That is not going to be your future. Instead, you're going to be as vital and physically active and healthy in your hundreds as you are in your 50s. And that means you're going to be able to work. And it's important because you're going to need to work, not only economically, but because you're going to want to remain vital and a participant in the social community and contributing to society. So you're going to want to work. However, robotics and artificial intelligence are going to eliminate most current jobs. If you're in the kind of job today where most of your work is repetitive and redundant, that job will be replaced by technology. On the other hand, if you are in the kind of a job that is creative, where you are involved in thinking, managing, and communicating, that is the kind of job that's going to survive and thrive in the future, which means you're going to go back to school periodically, and you're going to take the money that you're earning now to save up to be able to go back to school, to take a sabbatical, not for several weeks or months, but for years. And instead of waiting until retirement to be work-free for 30 years in a row, you're going to break it up into intervals. It's what we call the cyclical lifeline. Instead of the linear lifeline, where you go to school, get a job, retire, and die in that order, you're instead going to go to school, get a job, go back to school, get another job, take a sabbatical for a few years, then go back to school, get another job, back to school, get another job, and you'll do this cyclically for as long as you live. So it's going to totally upend the very nature of how we live our lives. It's going to be much more exciting. Instead of waiting until you're in your 70s for that round-the-world cruise, you'll do it in your 40s. Instead of saying, I'm missing out on my kids growing up in their young ages, you'll take off for a few years in your 30s to enjoy your children while they want to have you around. And then you'll work long into your 60s, 70s, and 80s in careers you haven't even thought of yet. And you'll have the time of your life doing it. You'll work when you want, where you want, as often as you want, making the kind of money you want, and it'll be a thrilling and enjoying and financially viable way to live.
Yeah, but how are you going to have enough money to take off? Let's say you're 35 or 40 years old. You're nowhere near even the traditional retirement age. How are you going to have time to take off a year without a job? Maybe you don't have any real savings. You started saving a little bit, but you don't have life savings that would allow you to work for a year without a job. How are people going to do that, Rick?
You don't need to have a life savings to do this, and you'll discover that lifestyles are going to change radically. The notion of the expenses that people currently incur are largely going to go away. People aren't going to own cars in the future, for example, because of the ride-sharing services that exist. Uber and Lyft as perfect examples of this. The self-driving cars that are coming on the marketplace from Google and Amazon and others are going to eliminate a major expense that people currently incur. Airbnb eliminate the need for people to spend as much money on real estate and home ownership as they currently do. So we're going to see a dramatic shift in the way people spend their money with an alternative approach to lifestyles that folks have never contemplated before.
Okay, when we started this whole thing, you joked about the dark side. Tell me what the dark side of future tech is.
Well, there are clearly issues. The number one issue is disruption. As you're discovering, Paul, this is shocking information. This is hard to digest and fathom. And the natural reaction for most folks the first time they hear about it is denial, is disagreement, because it's so radical. It's so different from what they're used to thinking. And even if it comes true, the very notion is disruption. So if you're going to give up a career to go back to school to study a new career, all that's well and good. But as you've pointed out, you've created disruption to your income. You've created disruption to your lifestyle. And disruption isn't easy. It creates uncertainties and it creates issues. And people are often resistant to change. And so this kind of disruption can be very bad for companies. For example, the best illustration I can give you is Kodak. I mean, this is a company that was 135 years old, one of the best brand names on the planet. And they filed bankruptcy in 2012 because everybody stopped buying cameras and film. I mean, when's the last time you bought a camera? It's now free in your smartphone.
Yep.
You're able to take as many photographs as you want, access them instantly, and share them with as many people as you like. That's very different from 15 years ago when you had to buy film, judiciously monitor the 12 shots you were able to take. It took you 2 days to get the film developed, and you had to spend money to do it, and you couldn't share them with anybody. All of a sudden, Kodak emerges into a digital environment, and it goes bankrupt. And the year Kodak went bankrupt, Instagram, a brand new company 18 months old with only 13 employees, is sold for $1 billion.
Yeah, you have a chart in the book about how long it took various companies to get to a $1 billion valuation. And, you know, some of them are, you know, years, some of them are decades. But in the case of Instagram, it's a year and a half.
Yeah, and that's disruption. So look at General Motors and Ford. Tesla came out of nowhere, now has a bigger market value than Ford does. So what happens when Uber starts using self-driving cars as taxi cabs? What happens to the taxi drivers? They lose their jobs. What happens to truck drivers? What happens to toll booth operators, parking garage attendants? What happens to the people who are working in a career related to the automotive industry? This is very disruptive. So that's one of the dark sides I talk about in the book, and the importance of preparing yourself for this. This is why it's so vital that you anticipate, is my job at risk of disruption? And if so, what steps can I take today to prepare myself so that I can remain viable in the workplace going forward?
Rick, I've been in the radio business for almost 40 years. Every day, I think, is my job at risk? Every single day. And you know what I'm talking about, too.
Absolutely right. I mean, we know there are a lot of radio stations that are fully automated these days.
Yeah. You know, any day now, a podcast is going to take my job. Let's talk about a couple of other things. This is Rick Edelman, who's a personal finance advisor. His new book is called The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later. Let me talk to you about a couple of things, one of which is a pet peeve of mine that you and I discussed at lunch many, many years ago and is still going on. And I've tried to get people who do this for a living in my industry to stop, and they won't do it. I am so sick of newscasters telling me how the Dow did today. Does this bother you too?
Yes, very much so. It's annoying because it's nothing more than financial noise. By telling us every day what the Dow did, they're telling us two things. Number one, you should pay attention to it. That's why they're telling you, right? If you didn't have to pay attention, why would they tell you? That's the first wrong message, because you don't need to pay attention. And number two, what it does today, we know, is different from yesterday and different from tomorrow, which reinforces the misconception that the Dow is always changing, that it's ever volatile, that it's risky and unpredictable. None of that is true. If you look at the performance of the Dow over a period of decades, if you look at it over a 10-year period, 20-year period, 30 or 40-year period, there is remarkably little volatility. The Dow has always been profitable in any 15-year period or beyond. And so focusing on it on a day-by-day basis is utterly irrelevant, serves no useful purpose, and I explain why in the book, on my chapter on investment strategy, I show you exactly how to manage your money today for the 21st century.
I guarantee you there's no newscaster, TV, radio, or otherwise today who is saying, and the Dow is down 0.03%, 0.03%. They never do that. They give you the raw number without telling you where the Dow actually stands and what a percentage is and all of that stuff. There's no perspective offered on that.
Well, let's keep in mind, these are broadcasters whose careers are in journalism and communication. They are not financial experts. They're reading off a teleprompter. They don't know what they're saying this stuff, and they don't know what it means either.
And they don't have a long-term focus, which I think a lot of people don't have in their daily life. They're not thinking ahead to next week, next month, next year, next decade. A lot of the stuff that you talk about in the book does that, but I would bet you have people coming into your office all the time who aren't thinking about where they're going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now and what they should do financially to get there.
There's no question. People suffer from short-termism. There are a lot of folks, for example, who are very upset about Donald Trump being the president. There are other people who are extraordinarily excited about Donald Trump being the president. Those who are upset want to sell their stocks and run into a hole in the ground. Those who are excited want to load up on stocks because they're bubbling with enthusiasm. Both groups are wrong, because no matter whether you love Trump or hate him, he's gone in 4 years, maybe 8 years, but you're going to be alive for 50. It doesn't matter who's the president right now. The long-term impact on your portfolio is nil. So there's too much emphasis on the short term, and a 4-year presidency, an 8-year presidency, is in fact short term.
Rick, I got an email from a listener named Stacy. I promoted that you were going to be on the show today on Twitter, and she asked me to ask you. She says, I heard you on with Paul several years ago, and you said I should never pay off the mortgage on my house. Do you still believe that?
Yes, very much so.
Why?
Well, it's a big Americanism, you know, pay off your home, own your home outright. It's the American dream. And that used to be true in the 1930s and 40s, but it's no longer true today in today's economic environment. In fact, a mortgage is one of the safest, smartest financial strategies you can use. It actually increases your safety and helps you achieve your financial goals. Why? Because every dollar you use to pay off a mortgage is a dollar you didn't invest. And that's the crux of the issue. Your house is going to grow in value whether there's a mortgage or not. The mortgage has no impact. Mortgage rates are about their lowest in history. 4% you can get a mortgage, 4.25%. And yet if you look at the 30-year average of the investment world, I'm willing to bet you can generate a higher return than what the mortgage is costing you. And best of all, by not throwing the money into the mortgage, instead keeping it in your bank and savings and investment accounts, you have access to that money. If you ever lose your job, if you ever need the cash for a medical crisis or any other reason, as we've discussed earlier, you want to go back to school and give up your job, that cash helps you pay your bills. If you've given that money to the lender, you'll never see that money again. It won't help you support and sustain your lifestyle. So I've got a 90-minute seminar on 11 great reasons to carry a big long mortgage. I've only shared just 3 of them with you. Mm-hmm. So yes, carrying a big long mortgage is one of the smartest, safest strategies you can use.
Do you think that the mortgage interest rate tax break is going to stay?
Yes. We don't see any evidence of it going away at the moment. And that tax break is another of the 11 reasons. In fact, it's a very powerful motivator. It's the government's way of saying we believe in home ownership and we're helping to subsidize your purchase of that home. And that's another reason for doing this. There's no suggestion by the president that he's going to eliminate that tax break.
All right. Last thing I want to ask you about, Rick, is something that a lot of people don't think about. And even people who are listening to us today and saying, you know, I don't really have money. I'm not investing. I don't know any of this stuff. But there is a new thing that has come into their lives in the last 10 years, thanks to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the rest. And you cap it up in a 2-word phrase called digital assets. Explain what people, just like in shorthand, what people should know about their digital assets.
Well, we all know when we die, we leave our assets to our kids, but increasingly, your assets are online. You used to have photo albums in the closet. Now your photos are on Facebook and Pinterest and other social media sites. You're doing banking online. You have investment accounts online. And all of those are password protected. When you die, how will your family access your Facebook account? How will they grab those photographs? If you don't provide a way for the passwords to be passed down, those assets disappear. So you've got to update your estate plan, your will, to include your digital assets. It's a big chapter in my book, and it's a huge element of how life is changing in a digital world.
And by the way, if you have kids or grandkids, make sure that somebody has their information too. Again, my daughter, 22 years old, she lives her life online. All of that stuff you're talking about lives in the cloud. And I told her, you know what? What if something happens to you and we want to be able to access that or your accounts, financial and otherwise? We need to have that information. Well, I don't want to give it up, you know, for privacy reasons. I don't want to give up that sort of stuff. Well, somebody has to have it. So if something does happen, we can get to it.
Right. And that's a woman whose 22-year-old daughter was killed in a tragic auto accident. And when she informed Facebook, because she tried to gain access to it, Facebook responded by deleting the account. Mm. And the woman said, it was as though I'd lost my daughter a second time.
Wow.
So this is just a really horrible scenario. Facebook has made changes now where you can give Facebook permission to let so that other family members can access the account. Twitter does the same thing, and so do many other social sites. But you need to take proactive steps to provide those permissions to loved ones.
Just one of the things you're going to learn when you pick up this great book. It's called The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later from the man who, by the way, is this number one on Amazon already?
It is, and we just found out it's also hit the New York Times bestseller list on its debut.
Wow. Congratulations, my friend. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Paul.
Rick Edelman here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.